Hello and welcome to Mike's Camera Action. I am your host, Carl, and I am joined as always by...
Alex.
Hey! And today, Alex, we're celebrating our 30th episode! Yay!
Oh, it's really number 30.
Yeah, we made it to episode 30, dude.
Oh, shit.
We're still going strong.
Wow, I'm surprised I haven't been kicked off the air yet. Oh.
How have we not? And today, Alex, we're talking about sequels.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about some of our favorite sequels or our least favorite sequels or what have you.
Yeah, we were originally going to do something like Ice Age 4.
Yeah, but we've kind of dropped the 4 idea on account of there aren't many good 4s out there.
No.
And the ones that are good are debatable if they're even a 4.
Yeah.
Like, the only... Like, I think when we brought up, like, doing a 4th, I was thinking Star Wars.
Yeah.
But then there isn't really a 4th Star Wars movie to do. Like, you could do Episode 4, which is A New Hope, which is the first Star Wars movie. Or you could do the 4th one that came out, which is The Phantom Menace, which is the first in the prequels.
Yeah. Oh, you technically talk about the 4th sequel to the original trilogy, which is actually the Force Awakens.
Yeah. Or do you do, like, the 4th in, like, the current movies have done, which is Solo, which we've already done?
Yeah.
Like, there's no easy way around it.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's one of those bizarre ones where a lot of movies tend to be written as, like, one or two sort of shots.
Well, that's the thing. You tend to get, from all the movies I was looking into, you either shoot one movie... And then you either make a sequel in a trilogy,
yeah,
or you just make a sequel and then work it out from there. Like, you either plot it out as a trilogy, or you just keep making movies as you go along.
Yeah.
And you never
That's the diehard way.
Exactly, yeah. And you never really plot out the 4th movie, like, from the beginning. It just kind of falls into place. No one ever says, we're going to make 4 or 5 or 6 movies, unless it's like Harry Potter.
Yeah, I was about to say.
It's a long-running series.
Harry Potter is the only one I can think of where they've actively gone, we're making 7 films.
Yeah.
Although I think they were like, we're making an amount of films until the story ends.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out as we go.
Yeah, they were like, we're making the movies for each book. And the books, leave that up to J.K. Rowling.
And the books there's like five of them now.
Yeah.
Actually, at the time that
How
they started...
How many books in were they when they made the...
Philosopher's
the
Stone?
First movie. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Yeah, that's a really good question. I hadn't ever actually asked that before.
Yeah, I've never really thought about that.
Yeah. At what point did they go, hey, let's make a movie about these?
Okay, so they probably made the first... They made the first one in, what, 2002?
I think. Maybe 2002 through 2001.
Okay, so at that point... Yeah, at that point, they were... Okay, the film wasn't made in 2001.
Yep.
At that point, they were... I'd say they were about 4-3 books in.
Okay, so they released Prisoner of Azkaban.
Prisoner of Azkaban came out in 99.
Yep.
Goblet of Fire did come out in 2000.
Okay. Wow, that's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, so Philosopher's Stone came out in 97.
Yep.
Chamber of Secrets came out in 98.
Wow, she really rushed those out.
Yeah, like the first 4 come out like one after the other.
Yep.
And then there's the next one is Order of the Phoenix, which came out in 2003.
Okay, so now we got a few more gaps. So there were four books by the time they had the first movie out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Half-Blood Prince came out in 2005, and 2007 was when Deathly Hallows came out.
Yeah.
I got my copy like the day after it got released.
Yeah.
And then finished reading it the day after.
Very quick reader, dude. I am impressed.
Yeah.
I've been trying to finish a novel for 4 months now.
Christ. Yeah, so they came out and there were like 4 films.
Yeah.
But then again... See, this is the thing that I've read I agree with, is that as you go through the books, they get for an older audience.
Oh yeah, that's definitely
and
part
I think
of
that's
the point
part
of Harry
of it.
Potter.
Yeah,
it's very like it starts off with that sort of innocent like, oh, I'm going to school, that kind of thing. And there's like a darker idea there of like this Dark Lord and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But until the fourth book, that doesn't really come to a head.
Yeah, and then like the 5th you get all the angst of teenaging.
Yeah.
And, like 6, it's like, I want to make out with girls now. Hey, Ginny. Hey, Cho. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
And then it's like the 7th one, and it's like, we're going camping. So yeah.
it's a life or death adventure.
I don't like the 7th.
7th is Deathly Hallows,
yeah,
right?
I have a lot of strong feelings.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff was shoved in to make the plot make sense. But
yep. Fair enough.
Traditional J.K. Rowling style of...
So I want to talk about what you think is your favorite sequel. What are you thinking?
Terminator 2.
Terminator 2? I think that's a good argument.
Yeah, Terminator 2 is one of the few films that's better than the original.
I think Well, it depends, because there's a few like that that I consider. Like, Terminator 2 is better than Terminator 1 by far.
Yeah.
I think it's the best Terminator movie.
I mean, although not to disparage on the Terminator. The Terminator's really good, but Terminator 2 is just on another level.
Yeah, Terminator 2 goes way above and beyond. I think...
I just like the... Oh, sorry. Can I just talk about my favorite scene in Terminator 2?
Yeah.
When you've got Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's riding the chopper, and he just cocks the shotgun, flips it around, fires, and then just keeps doing that the entire time, and he's just... flipping it, firing, and it's just like, what the hell?
Yeah, the flip cocking on that shotgun is one of the most iconic
I remember reading the gunsmith had to like try and figure it out at some point, because like Arnie's like, what about this? This would be dope. And I think the gunsmith is like, yeah, right. Let's do this.
So what if I fire the shotgun with one hand? Sure.
Because I think you'd been watching old westerns where like they flip around the revolver and fire.
So he was trying to figure out how can I rechamber a shotgun.
But it's dope, isn't it? Like it's cool as hell.
Like yeah. I wish it were possible to do such a thing.
That is definitely one of my favorite scenes in Terminator 2.
Oh yeah, I think Terminator 2 is definitely it's the same premise but better.
Yeah,
there's actually another sequel that I think is kind of a better movie. But changes the format quite a lot, which is Aliens.
Oh,
because Alien is a horror movie, like very secluded, one alien hunting Ripley.
I've actually never seen Alien. I've only seen Aliens.
Oh, okay.
See, I know the plot behind Alien.
Yep.
But yeah, my friend was like, I remember we went to, I think it was like a Video Easy. We were renting this on DVD.
So this is a while ago, you said.
Yeah, this is like a decade ago at this point.
Yep.
I think we were like 14 at the time, so not quite a decade, but like eight years ago.
Yep.
Old, like before Netflix, but like just not quite old enough to rent for like Aliens, MA movies on DVD.
Yeah.
I think we lied to the guy, being like, oh, it's his 15th birthday. But yeah, we definitely, we borrowed, my mate was like, let's get Aliens instead. Aliens was such a good film.
Oh yeah. Aliens is fantastic. Like that's why I like Aliens more.
Yeah.
I can go back and watch Aliens quite like whenever I want, because that's a movie that just kind of stands up on its own and that kind of stuff. Whereas Alien, you have to really want to see Alien. Like it's a very slow burn. It's a like sci-fi horror movie. There's a you get what I'm saying? It's not something that I'd just be like, oh, I'll put this on in the background. That seems fun.
There's always something that's always bothered me that I've never seen Alien.
It took me ages. Like Terminator 2 was the first Terminator movie I saw. It took me like 8 years after I saw that to see the first Terminator movie. Like it was the last. I still haven't seen Genesis now that I think about it. Although I think I could give that a miss.
Yeah, I've seen all the first three Terminator films and Salvation. Salvation was garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. There was some like kind of cool stuff in Salvation.
Yeah.
Like it was still a movie that was mostly about post.
Yeah.
Fall of Humanity. Actually,
Salvation wasn't too bad. That's a lie. Genesis, I hear, is garbage.
Yeah, so I've heard, but I haven't.
But, like, I liked the idea between Salvation, as in this is where the birth of, like, the real John Connor that you hear about happens.
Yeah.
That's the good thing that comes from Salvation.
Mm. I also kind of like some of the stuff with Sam Worthington's character.
Yeah.
Where he, for the longest part, he doesn't actually know he's a robot. Like, he's just kind of, he's this you know, death row inmate who just wakes up one day, like he's put to death, and then he just wakes up in the morning and goes, oh, everything is so wrong right now.
Yeah. But I also see, like, you see all the Terminators and they're all Arnie.
Yeah.
They're all young Arnie.
They couldn't actually get Schwarzenegger in, but they just have like this body double and like they'd CG's face into look kind of like Schwarzenegger. It's like, oh, I see what you're going for there.
You could have just staged in the footage from the original, like him being naked, because you film that. You have this on film.
Yeah. Though they might have had it on digital, though. That's the difference.
Yeah, but you could just digitize it and then use that as like a basis too, and then later on.
Downside is that can create like a difference in visual quality.
Yeah,
I've seen it happen a few times.
But then you use that as the base to then create the model.
They probably did do something similar, I'd imagine.
Yeah. But anyway, aside from that, sequels are hard to do. I remember I saw Men in Black 2 before I saw Men in Black.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of which was the first Men in Black movie I saw. I can't remember if it was one or two.
Yeah.
that's worrying.
Yeah. I remember... Oh, maybe I did see Men in Black 1 before Men in Black 2, but I've definitely seen Men in Black 2 more.
Yeah.
I think there's just part of me that prefers it, because I'm not a huge fan of Vincent D'Onofrio's alien cockroach guy.
Sugar in water.
He's really good in it, like as part of it, as a kid, like it's very disturbing.
Oh, yeah.
And part as a kid, what's her face? It was like, okay...
Fair.
Look, man, I was like 12. Leave me alone.
Two's a bit weird as well, though.
Yeah, I liked two because it's like it's a bit more comedic.
Yeah. Okay.
Like it's like it and like it. I think the story in it's a bit nicer.
Fair. It's been a while since I saw two, but I really like one, like the story in number one, because it's got that like I don't know, it's just the the opening to it, I feel like, is very strong, where you've got like Will Smith going through the training or like the recruitment process. And it's he's just got like that different perspective to all the other military guys that I thought was really cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And he pulls the table over.
Yeah.
And he just and they're all like
comes
writing on
the
knees. And, like,
and then the fire like the fire the live fire exercise where
he shoots
one shot, which is at a little kid who's walking through like this dangerous neighborhood at night, whereas everyone else is like filled every alien in the room full of lead.
Yeah, and he's like, why? It's like, I don't trust her. Fucking dangerous neighborhood at night. Why is she walking?
Exactly. He's like, it's a dangerous neighborhood at night. She's sitting there with I think she had like a calculus textbook.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's no way she's old enough to understand that book. And then he's going through, like, all the aliens pointing out, like, I didn't shoot that guy because it looks like he's just working out, not, like, hanging from a lamppost spooking people.
Yeah.
And I'd hate for someone to walk into to bust down into the gym and shoot my ass when I'm on the treadmill.
Because I think, but I like that because it, like, also shows the sort of stuff that they're after. Because, like, they're after, like, someone who doesn't think alien bad.
Yeah, exactly. They're looking for that's exactly it. They're looking for people who think a bit unconventionally, who aren't just there to be a trigger and shoot at whatever they put in front of them.
Yeah, also always hardcore parkour with the guy that has two sets of eyelids.
Good God.
Yeah, that was bizarre. I remember that.
I really do like those movies.
I gotta watch them again.
I think I might have one and two somewhere on DVD.
I think they're on Netflix or something.
I think at least the first one's on Netflix,
yeah.
I think.
Alright. Yeah. Time to go back and watch. Men in Black 3, though, felt like it was just chucked in.
I wasn't as big a fan of 3, no.
Yeah, but Men in Black 2, see, Men in Black sort of works as anthology.
Yeah.
Because they're basically buddy cop films.
Yeah. So the trailer's out, not the actual movie, but Men in Black International.
I'm interested to see it. I'm not holding my breath, but I will see it.
That's fair. Yeah, I'm bated breath. Like I did like
Thor Ragnarok, and I do think Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth could be like a good buddy cop duo.
That's the one thing that actually has me like kind of looking forward to the movie.
Yeah.
Like if it was just anyone else, I'd be like, but did we need this?
You need a duo with good chemistry. See, Will Smith and
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones, thank you.
Yep.
They had good chemistry because Tommy Lee Jones was playing the straight man.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got Will Smith going like, what the hell, man?
Who's in his peak 90s comedian like approach.
Yeah, and then he's like, I might have mentioned this in the like one of the other episodes.
Yeah.
About my favorite line being in Men in Black 2 when he pulls up and there's an automatic driver in the car.
Yeah.
And Tommy Lee Jones is like, what? And it's like, and Will Smith is like, oh, it used to be a black dude, but then he kept getting pulled over.
I don't think you've brought that up, no.
Oh, I think I mentioned it to someone, but it's one of my favorite lines that comes out in Men in Black, in Men in Black 2.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, it's actually really good. I love that, like, Men in Black and Men in Black 2 work so well because they have that series.
Yeah.
And it's something that, like, in Men in Black 3, what's his face? The one that plays Jay as a kid, is it Brolin?
It might be Josh Brolin, yeah. It looks like he could play the part for sure.
Yeah, in Men in Black 3, it just doesn't happen. Like, he's too serious.
Yeah.
Like, he's just too serious and it doesn't work. Whereas,
it's not
like,
as much of a
Tommy Lee Jones is that bit comedic, like...
Well, he also the writing in it's fantastic, where in the first movie...
Josh Brolin.
There you go. Like, you've got Tommy Lee Jones will deliver something deadpan serious that to us is completely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's
like, he'll mention
it's
Elvis.
Comedic.
And he'll just be like, no, Elvis didn't die, he just went home. And it's like, that's dumb as hell.
Yeah.
But he takes it so seriously because that's the truth.
Also, remember the escaping... Oh, the Michael Jackson cameo in Men in Black 2. I can be Agent M. Bizarre cameo.
Trying to think of like some of the strangest cameos, but I'm drawing a blank.
But Men in Black 2 sort of works still because it's all the characters from the first one.
Yeah.
It's just like... This has happened and you need to fix this.
Yeah.
As you know, it works as a sequel.
Yeah. 3 I feel like goes into the two characters' history a bit too much.
Yeah.
It
goes
really
into Tate's history too much.
Yeah. Like, and we didn't need to know about like you know,
Andy Warhol being an Men in Black agent.
Yeah, or Will Smith's character's dad being like having, you know, died from an alien like years ago.
Yeah,
all this kind of stuff. Like it made him like suddenly born into the role too much.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like there's like too much going on in that film.
Yeah.
And I think that's the issue that a lot of sequels face, is that they just try to add things into it to make it like more depth.
Yeah, definitely.
But then it like fails. I mean, as well as like the other thing is like sequels that focus like on side characters.
Yeah. Got an example of that one?
National Lampoon Christmas Vacation 2.
Good point. We saw this one a little while, like, pretty recently, and that's terrible.
It focuses on Cousin Eddie.
Yeah. Like, remember that like, comedic side character from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation?
Yeah, that's the
movie. They made a whole movie about him, and it's bad. It's so terrible. Like,
yeah,
it reminds me of Grown Ups, too.
Oh, why'd you remind me of Grown Ups, too?
We can talk about that in a bit. Where there's just no reason for it. Like like a movie needs narrative structure. It needs to have a goal, a purpose, you know, a journey you need to be taken on. And National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation 2, they just kind of bumble around like, oh, we're on a vacation. Like, oh, here's this joke. Here's this piece. We're on an island. Oh, no, we're still on an island.
Here's Grandpa
being
a pervert.
Yeah.
Here's the kid being a pervert as well.
Oh. Yep.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. And Grown Ups 2 is, I think, the worst culprit for this. Of like, I can see how it's just such a like, it's so bad. There are movies that are, like, poorly made, you know, where, like, maybe you've got some budgetary concerns, the writing's not good, all that kind of stuff. But Grown Ups 2 is a movie with money, with, you know, considerable actors and people attached to it, and it doesn't go anywhere. It has no purpose for existing. There's no end goal. It's just like, hey, we're at a party. We're at a lake. We're at the, you know,
there's a massive fight now at my house. It's Target.
Target, that's it. Yeah.
Remember, drink every time they're in Target.
They're in there
for like half an hour.
Why?
That's the point. The whole point of Grown Ups 2 is that there is no point, and I hate it for it.
Exactly.
It's like Holmes and Watson I saw and has a point to it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good. It is not a good film.
Yeah.
I laughed a couple of times. John C. Reilly, like, bursting into films and just firing off shots randomly. Bizarre, but funny. You know, if someone told me that this is Will Ferrell's attempt at, like, making fun of Sherlock Holmes parodies,
yeah,
I would be, like, all for it, because it's, like, that sort of, like, ridiculousness.
But yeah.
Not. Like, there's also a point where, like, it's like they're at one of those fairs, and it's, like, carbon monoxide cures insomnia. And I'm like, all right.
Sure.
See, like, that's the other point that I laughed at. Not at the weird musical number in that film.
Yeah.
Don't.
All right, yep.
But yeah, no, but at least that had a plot.
Yeah.
Like, they were trying to figure out where Moriarty was.
Okay.
And then, but yeah, because Sherlock Holmes released him.
Sure.
Yeah.
As you do.
But yeah, but aside from that, like, it had a point, whereas Grown Ups 2 doesn't.
So what do you think is the worst sequel you've ever seen that you can recall? Like, let's say in comparison of, like, not just, like, it's bad, but makes the first one worse, or like, you know, undoes the work of the previous series.
I'm trying to think of one. Do you have one in mind?
I kind of want to talk about Ice Age.
Oh, God.
Because I think Ice Age 1 is brilliant.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. It's got a great story. The characters are really unique, and everyone gets their screen time and their purpose and their journey. 2 onwards, I feel like really misses the mark, where 2 is just kind of...
2 is fine.
Yeah.
2 is fine because it's a bit more into, like, Manny and, like, how the fact that he's alone.
Yeah.
And
that was kind of the purpose where, like, the point of Ice Age 1 is that it's coming, is that the Ice Age is coming to an end. Like, man is now emerging as a dominant species. That's the purpose. The mammoths are gone. There's only one left that we know of. Everyone's been getting left behind in this great migration, all that kind of stuff, and that's the purpose of it.
That bothers me a little. Mammoths were still around the same time as the pyramids.
Yeah, but still, you get the idea.
Yeah, no, I get the idea. But
the whole purpose is that these creatures are dying off.
I think Ice Age 2 isn't like Ice Age 2 is fine because there's one other.
Yeah,
there's one other.
Yeah,
And, like, she doesn't know she's what a mammoth is.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, I know, but it's fine.
That's where Circle is, man.
Yeah. It's fine, because it's that dumb, but it's, like, it's Manny coming to grips with that, like, maybe he is the last.
Yeah.
Like, he's found another mammoth, but she's not part of a herd at all.
Yeah.
She's on her own as well. Like, that's it. Whereas, like, three onwards, you're right. Dinosaurs, no.
Yeah, three is the moment it completely lost me, and I said, I am not watching this anymore, because even as a kid... No, I think I was even a kid. I think I was like young teens. But I remember seeing that movie and thinking, nah, it's over.
I think I've
this
seen...
This is awful.
I might have seen Ice Age 4 once.
Yeah.
It's like weird pirates.
Yeah, I've seen the trailers for it.
Except the thing that... Actually, the thing that bothers me about the Ice Age films...
Yep.
...is that every time there's a sequel, they add a character into the main party.
Yep. I was... So, in preparation for this, I went to the... I was looking up Ice Age, and I went onto their website, like the Collective Ice Age website. And if you scroll down a little bit, there's a character list... And it's got, like, character bios and all that kind of stuff. And, like, the first page of it is all well and good. It's, like, Manny, Sid, Diego, done. Like, all right, I know
it's
these people.
It's just those three.
It's a few more from, like, the sequels.
Like, Ellie and...
That
the
kind
two,
of group.
The two, like... Like, that's fine. They're yeah. fine.
But then you kind of keep going right. And you keep going through them. And then suddenly I was like, who are you people?
You mean, like, the granny?
Who? Like, we're talking, you get, like, some weird otter twins or whatever the hell they are. Like, yeah, all these dinosaur characters who I don't know.
I'm pretty sure the Otter Twins are, like, Ellie's sisters, brothers.
They're
in Ice Age 2.
Yeah, and I don't care for any of them.
Yeah, well, like I don't know. Ice Age 2 is fine. Everything else of that is just bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you said that, it reminded me of all the High School Musical sequels.
Okay.
No One Learns a Lesson.
Yeah.
Between films, no one learns a lesson, and it really pisses me.
Well, they're not attending their lectures.
No. How do I delete a podcast? Is going to be my next Google search. No, so like, what it is that like Troy and Gabriella go through the same thing every single bloody film, and it's the same thing. It's literally the same thing. It's like Troy's like, oh, but I want to do basketball, but I care about Gabriella, and Gabriella's like, why the fuck don't you care about me to begin with? Dick. And yeah, just bizarre. But then like later on, like Sharpay's still a massive bitch, and at the end she's like, oh, I'm friends with you guys. Yeah.
And then it undoes it in the next
movie.
And
then it undoes it in the next movie. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. That's pretty terrible. At that point you're just kind of churning out sequels with the same narrative story.
Yeah, they basically have the same narrative story, and that's the thing.
That's annoying.
There are multiple Troy and Gabriella breakup songs, and that's an issue.
They're just in such an unstable relationship, man.
Yeah.
Every year.
Also, they never kiss in the entirety of three films.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, what a loving relationship they have, you know?
Yeah. What do you expect? Although, to be fair, it is Disney.
That's true. Can't show too much on the Disney Channel.
No.
It's for kids.
But yeah, so that's the thing. Like, the fact... It's the fact when sequels just go around and, like, it's the same story.
Yeah.
That's what really gets me.
Yeah.
Is that, like, you haven't learned the lesson that you learned in the first film.
Mm.
Why, though?
Yeah, you have to tell... You have to take... The point for a sequel is you have to have... You're trying to tell another story with those characters you have, or continue the story.
Like, Shrek 4.
Yep.
Not a great film.
No.
But at least there's a new story?
Yeah. They introduce some new ideas and some new concepts, and it moves forward.
Yeah. And, like, it's all, like, because Shrek 3 is about Shrek coming to grips with the fact that he's going to be a father.
Yeah.
Whereas Shrek 4 is, like, him actually accepting that, like, what it takes and what it means.
Yeah. Which is kind of the problem, because Shrek 3 and 4 have kind of the same idea.
Yeah.
Except 4 I like more because it's Shrek dealing... Because he's already got the kids. And it's him dealing with the fact that he is now a dad, and it's got his, like, basically Shrek's midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Where he's kind of, like, in that point where he doesn't know what to do anymore, and he wants to kind of go back.
Yeah. Although the whole ear trumpet thing is bizarre.
I'm not saying it's not a strange movie with some odd ideas.
It's not the worst time travel film I've seen, though.
Oh?
No, it's just, like, as, like, just straight up, like, in terms of, like, sequels that time travel. Like, Men in Black does an average job at it.
Yeah, in 3.
It does it pretty well. But, yeah, so it's not, like I said, it's not great. I don't think any time travel sequel's great.
Yeah, I will call your bluff on that. I can tell you a time travel sequel that is incredible. Back to the Future, two and three.
Not including Back to the Future, which are films about time travel.
But they're great. Two and three, I think, like the Back to the Future trilogy is one of my favorite trilogies. It's perfect. It just works.
Yeah, but see, again, that's a film that set, like, Back to the Future set itself up for that sequel.
Yeah.
Like, where we're going, we don't need roads. And then we get to 2015 and everything's like the same amount of depressing. And you're like,
it's just awful.
It's just awful. Where's my Jaws 23 or whatever, Jaws 8 or whatever it is?
Yo, science bitches, where my hoverboard?
can
cure all these diseases, but I ain't got no hoverboard.
You listen to Seth Sentry again.
I was told about it this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so what it is that, yeah, although I have heard an interesting fan theory.
Yeah?
That because of the reason why, of the way that they got introduced to rock and roll.
Yeah.
Rock and roll never takes the major, like, grunge punk form that it does, so everyone takes up skateboarding. Skateboarding becomes the big cultural icon.
Skateboarding is the new rock and roll.
Yeah, exactly okay. That. Because skateboarding becomes more popular because, yep. Like, the first thing you hear is, you know, Michael J. Fox's character playing Johnny B. Good kind of averagely.
Yeah.
And then, like, so you never really heard the, then they never really got into it. And then, so then later on, skateboarding becomes bigger. And so Jaws 8 happens or whatever, somehow.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why they have hoverboards, is because rock and roll never really took off.
So they just devoted all that time to something else.
Yeah, skateboards.
I dig it.
Yeah. You want to go to skateboard?
Hey, friends, you want to go skateboards? I'm trying to think of what. Okay. You brought up Disney Channel earlier with High School Musical.
Let's not get into Disney directed DVD sequels.
Well, that's the thing. Are there any actual Disney sequels that came out in movies that were any good?
Apparently, Return of Jafar's not bad.
Yeah.
But King of Thieves, Aladdin.
Return of Jafar is the third one.
It's Aladdin 2.
Is it Aladdin 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
Aladdin 3 is King of Thieves. It's about Aladdin's dad.
Right. Yep. Not good.
I've seen parts of it, and the animation is.
The animation quality takes a spike down. Yeah, actually,
Emperor's
Jafar.
New Groove 2 wasn't too bad.
Hang on, was Emperor's New Groove 2 the one about Kronk?
It was
purely about Kronk, and he's like.
And his chipmunks.
That's not. To me, that's not even an Emperor's New Groove movie at that point. It's just the Kronk movie.
Yeah. Like, squeaking, squeak, squeak, squeaking.
Squeaker.
I love Kronk.
Kronk's great, but. I don't know. I feel like a movie about him was a bit much.
Yeah. A lot of the Disney directed DVD. Like, there was an Atlantis sequel.
Yep.
Atlantis is one of my favorite Disney movies, but I've never been able to watch the sequel.
Yeah.
I looked at it once, and the animation style was completely different. It's lost all its polish.
Yeah. They never look as good, the sequels, though.
I'll take back what I said.
Yeah.
Lion King 2.
Lion King 2?
Little Mermaid 2 is also good.
Okay, because I haven't seen any of those.
Little Mermaid 2, I think, was actually a direct to like TV one.
Yeah.
And it's not bad. Like, it's got a similar amount of polish.
Yep.
It's about Ariel's daughter and has like a
daughter.
Yeah, so Ariel's daughter gets cursed when she's born.
Mm-hmm.
About not returning to the so they wall off the kingdom so she can't go into the ocean.
Okay.
But she falls in love with the ocean because she's fucking half mermaid. but she wants to be a mermaid, and so she goes to Ursula's sister.
Okay.
Who gives her like a tail and like the in exchange for something and something.
Mm.
Oh, in exchange for King Triton's trident.
Oh yeah.
Or something like that. And so, yeah, it happens and they, like, get revenge.
So it's kind of like a reverse Little Mermaid.
Yeah, it's the reverse Little Mermaid, and so it's fine. It's actually pretty good.
That's interesting. I might have to check that out.
It was actually a good enough watch. I've seen Cinderella 2. Cinderella 2 is okay.
What do you do with a Cinderella 2?
And let's not get started on Cinderella 3 then.
Oh, my God.
I think Cinderella 2 is about her adjusting to, like, the palace life.
Yeah.
Cinderella 3 is about time travel.
Oh, there we go. The third... How is it that the third is typically the time travel movie?
Because in the third one, the evil stepmother gets the fairy godmother's wand and travels in time.
All right, sure. Sure enough. I'm gonna have to watch this now. I'm gonna have to check this out for myself.
I have Little Mermaid 2 on DVD on VHS. Sorry.
Oh god, I was gonna say DVD shoot over, but nah, I can't watch a VHS.
Yeah, neither can I anymore. I just have it.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I have a box of VHS tapes somewhere in my house and no VCR to play them on.
Mulan 2 isn't bad. Like, There was this, okay. It like depended on the film. Like a lot of the Disney princess films got decent re-releases.
Yeah.
Like sequels, like Lion King did, but like some of the others, like Atlantis, I would argue would be a niche film for Disney.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
See, although it's one of my favorites, but it's a niche film. It's like my favorite Disney movie of all time is definitely a niche film.
Yeah.
Treasure Planet is like super, like, it flopped.
Yeah.
It flopped massively, but I love it.
Fair enough.
Pirates in space, man. Pirates in space. but yeah.
Oh, speaking of pirates, what are your thoughts on the Pirates of the Caribbean sequels?
I've seen five
Pirates of the Caribbean movies, four sequels.
Okay, I've seen the first two sequels.
Okay, so you've seen the trilogy, basically.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the others. I didn't think one of them's a prequel, isn't it?
No. They're all sequels.
I got told one of them was a prequel.
Nope. So the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, you've got The Curse of the Black Pearl is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, oh,
I
it's
love
so good.
It. It's beautiful. It made pirates cool again.
Like the bit where he's like, where the ship's sinking and he just steps off into the thing and he's like...
It's such a perfect introduction to Jack Sparrow. It's so well done. The music's beautiful.
Yeah.
The shots are beautiful. The way, like the idea of the curse is fantastic. I love it.
Yeah.
Barbossa is a great, beautiful villain in that movie. I love seeing him on screen, and just Jeffrey Rush's performance in that is astounding. The sequels, so the first two are with the whole point is Davy Jones. Yeah, just Davy Jones being a threat. So you've got like the Kraken, blah blah blah. The whole point of the second movie is to get Davy Jones's heart, so that whoever has it can control the Flying Dutchman. And the third is just the extension from that, where they're trying to basically it ends with Will Turner becoming the new captain of the Flying Dutchman, the new Davy Jones, and then they obliterate the Navy, like they eliminate the Navy, like. The Navy is a threat in the Caribbean, I guess.
Yeah.
The fourth one is completely unrelated, and I don't remember much of that movie because it's so forgettable. It's so boringly. There's no Will. There's no Will Turner anymore. There's no Elizabeth Swan.
Okay.
It's just Jack Sparrow, who's the only recurring character.
That's maybe why I heard it was a prequel.
No, it's after. It comes in afterwards. You've got Barbossa still makes an appearance in those movies. He does make an appearance in 4. You've got Blackbeard is one of the main characters of 4.
Why?
I just kind of had to put him in there. And the whole point is they're trying to find the Fountain of Youth. And I can't remember much of what happens in that movie, bar the Black Pearl gets turned into a ship in a bottle. Then Pirates of the Caribbean 5. It's still not as good. Like, the jokes don't quite... There's a couple of funny moments in there, but the jokes don't quite land. You've got a lot of recurring characters with, like, the crew of the Black Pearl shows back up. Like, you've got Gibbs. Yeah. Barbossa still makes a major appearance as kind of the villain and then one of the heroes. But it's... Once again, it's just not the same. And the fact that they're rebooting it, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Just make a different pirate movie. Just make good pirate movies. Yeah. Stop trying to capture lightning in a bottle.
In that about, like... sequels not quite hitting.
Mm.
Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
I don't think it lands quite right.
Okay. Well, what do you think of Iron Man 2?
I like Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
I love Iron Man. Don't get me wrong. I love it.
Oh, I think Iron Man, like the first Iron Man is really good.
Yeah.
I really like that movie.
There's a reason why it helped kick off the cinematic universe.
Absolutely.
But the issue that I have with Iron Man 3 is that it's too comedic.
Yeah.
And the jokes don't land for me.
I think you're right on that. I don't remember too... I remember bits and pieces of Iron Man 3. The last time I saw it was in theaters.
Yeah.
For good reference.
Same.
Yeah. But I remember right towards the end, there's this really dramatic moment, and Tony Stark like calls one of the Iron Man suits to him.
Yeah,
to, like,
and it doesn't work. It fails.
Yeah. As it approaches him and he's going to, like, you know, suit up, it then just explodes into tiny pieces.
Yeah.
And I was like, well... why?
Yeah, it's like during the final battle, it's like dramatic, and then it doesn't work. I'm like, no, this...
And then the villain just laughs at him.
Yeah.
It's like, why is this happening?
The man has PTSD. You're trying to make this, like, serious, like, Tony Stark coming to, like, sense with himself, because he has PTSD.
Yeah.
From, like, throwing that nuke into space.
Seeing into another dimension, basically. Yeah.
And then you just keep cracking jokes. And then I feel like Avengers 2 is set up poorly because of it.
Yeah.
Because if you set up Iron Man 3 into showing more depth the psyche of Tony Stark,
yeah.
then the fact that he wants to make something to help prevent what he saw yeah. makes more sense rather than this thing that has jokes that don't work.
Yeah.
No, like, I you didn't that. You shifted the tone dark but kept the jokes in and it, take them out.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, you had, like, and the end credit scene of Iron Man 3 is what pissed me off the most.
What's the end credit scene of Iron Man 3 again?
It's Tony Stark is telling Bruce Banner about what happened, and Bruce Banner's asleep.
Yep, yeah.
And I was like, no, this isn't a good film. This yep. isn't a good ending.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, Iron Man 3 was good. No, because it missed the character mark.
Yeah.
It missed the mark on where the character's like psyche is
mm.
by cracking jokes that didn't land.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I understand
that.
There was a change in director.
Yeah, it was a Shane Black movie.
Yeah, with Guy what's his name?
Guy Pearce is the villain.
No, not Guy Pearce. Favreau. John Favreau.
Oh, John Favreau. Yeah.
Still appearing in the film.
Yeah.
He put himself in as a character, so if he ever got replaced as a director, he'd still make a paycheck.
He'd still be able to be in there.
Yeah.
He'd still get credit.
Isn't Far From Home.
Yeah. He was also in Homecoming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he plays Happy.
Yeah.
Who knows if he's going to smash Aunt May. I still don't know why they released a
more,
Far From Home
like
trailer.
Aunt May, nobody else's home.
I still don't know why they released a Far From Home trailer.
Why not?
I don't know. I was just expecting to see it after Avengers 4.
But the thing is, it's the movie that comes out after Avengers 4.
Yeah, that's the issue.
Yeah, you can't.
See,
not,
I feel like I would accept it more if someone told me that Far From Home takes place before Avengers.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, before
it's still a sequel. You knew it was going to happen anyway.
Oh yeah,
like whether they announced their roadmap or not.
Yeah, you knew that Spider-Man was coming out. Spider-Man's going to get undusted somehow.
Undusted. Yeah. Well, speaking of, well, we're on the topic of Avengers. How do you think the Avengers works in? Like, what's the best Avengers movies? And
Avengers 3 is definitely the best Avengers movie.
Yeah, Infinity War?
Yeah, Infinity War's... Avengers 2 isn't bad. I liked it.
I think it was made better by the movies that came out after it.
Yeah, I love Hawkeye in that film so much.
What in... Oh, yeah. Hawkeye's got a great line in Avengers 2.
Yeah,
where he's is it to Quicksilver? I can't remember who he's talking to, and he just has that one line where he's like, "I'm here with a bow." Like, there's a guy in like super armor over there, a literal god, the Hulk, and then there's me.
Yeah, like I think that's to Scarlet Witch because Scarlet Witch was unsure about fighting.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing though is still Hawkeye in that film when he's like. When like Quicksilver's like bothered him and then run off and he's like pulled back his arm, like I can do it, man. No one, I didn't see him.
No one would stop me.
No one's gonna see this.
Who would save you, kid?
But like, I liked Avengers 2 was good because Hawkeye, who like is very under focused.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll get some more screen time in Avengers 4.
Yeah, well, he's going to be in it.
Yeah,
so we're going to definitely.
Apparently, he's going to be more Ronin than he is going to be Hawkeye.
I think that's just from the trailer. It looks like they're transitioned to Ronin from this point.
Yeah. But aside from that, it's going to be. I think it'll be interesting.
Yep.
I liked Hawkeye in that because he had character.
Yeah.
I like I've always liked characters in film.
Yeah.
Like he got a lot of character in Avengers 2, which is why he's my favorite character in Avengers 2.
Okay. Sure.
Like, but he
a little
also,
controversial it, for you to say that on air that you're that Hawkeye's your favorite character in something.
He has
no,
like,
I totally agree.
He has
with
like
you.
A lot of good
he's
lines.
He's definitely great in that movie.
He shows that he is a key part of the Avengers in that film.
Definitely.
Whereas like some of the like Iron Man, good role in that because he like it shows that like he is like trying to prepare for something.
Yeah,
it sets up that way. Like Bruce Banner is,
yeah.
It's like
Bruce Banner's a bit strange in the movies.
Yeah,
point.
He's trying to be the voice of reason, but like, he doesn't always hit it. Then you've got Captain America's just Cap, but it sets up like the whole disagreement between him and Stark sets up for Civil War.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why I think Civil War onwards makes Avengers 2 better because you see because suddenly it plays out. Like Avengers Age of Ultron has a bit of that setup.
Yeah.
But then it all finally hits in Civil War and Infinity War where you're like, oh, that's why this was happening. That's why Age of Ultron exists.
Yeah, but then like you have Thor who's just Thor in Avengers 2. Like I think Avengers 2 is the one where they talk about the Infinity Stones for the first time.
I think...
Yeah, it's where they first get outrightly mentioned, I think...
By the Avengers. The first time they mentioned the word Infinity Stone was in Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. Yeah.
But I still think... Yeah, there was that deleted scene from Avengers 2 that still bothers me, like the extended scene.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the original trailers that I saw of Avengers 2, there was a scene that involved a woman stepping out of a lake.
Yeah.
Out of the spa spring that, like, Thor goes to.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't happen in the film.
No, that scene is very, like, jammed in where suddenly Thor just walks into a pool and then comes out going, I know about the Infinity Stones! And it's like, what just happened? Where was the movie that in that point?
Yeah.
Did they forget to record?
Yeah, they cut it. That's the thing, is it? He's like, I'm going to go to this place to get some more knowledge. And then he just comes back, Infinity Stones!
I know all about them. There's one over here. It's like, okay Thor, what?
But yeah, so Avengers 2 was good. Avengers 1 was like...
Like, you forget a lot about that movie, but it did the job it set out to do, which was to take all those characters they'd been setting up and finally put them into a movie together.
But that's the point. It does the job. It's not...
It's not brilliant,
but... I feel like the only reason I consider Avengers Age of Ultron... Not Infinity War to be the best one.
Yep.
Is because so much has led to it.
Yeah, exactly. It's been 10 years of work up, and it pays off so much.
Yeah, it pays off so well, and like you feel all like you feel for the characters because I've seen like 5 films with Captain America in it.
Yeah, they've put up so much work.
Seven films with Iron Man.
Yeah,
yeah, I've seen
something like that. Yeah.
Because, let's see, Iron Man 1, 2, and 3, Civil
Avengers
War.
Avengers 1 and 2.
Avengers 1 and 2, that's 6 films, including Infinity War, 7 films.
Yeah.
I've seen 3 films with Spider-Man in it, but still, like,
that's still a fair, like, 3 movies with Spider-Man, still a fair bit. Like, I still gave a shit about Peter Parker in that movie.
Yeah. Oh, just seeing Spider-Man for the first time in Civil War.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just, like, the web and the, pulling the shield, is like, what? Oh, shit, it's Spider-Man.
Dude, seeing that, like, that moment when the trailer popped for Civil War, and then they just have, like, yeah, exactly, that shot of Spider-Man stealing Captain America's shield, I was like, oh, he's, what? They did it! It
Spider-Man.
Happened! Spider-Man's in the movies!
My inner J. Jonah Jameson was pleased. They got me more pictures of Spider-Man.
Send me pictures.
But yeah, so...
I think Marvel, honestly, does really well with their sequels, though.
Yeah.
The only sequel... Captain America, the one is okay, two is incredible, three is even better somehow. Thor, two, forgettable.
One is average, three is
a whole nother level.
Yeah.
So I think on the whole, they've got some, like, their sequels tend to really elevate it in quite a good way.
Yeah, so Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was...
One, I think, is a better movie. Two isn't bad.
Two is more character-driven.
Exactly. It's kind of like The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, like in one, you have like them all teaming up.
Yeah.
But you learn nothing about them.
Yeah. Two gives you the chance because you've already been introduced. You can now meet, like, get further into it and figure out who is Drax, who is Star-Lord. You know, but why, like, is Gamora?
The whole ego is the ego, the living planet thing, and Kurt Russell...
I kind of like Kurt Russell in it.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. Like, it wasn't the worst, but, like, the whole idea that, like, he was trying to, like, mate with a bunch of, like, different planets and species to make his own child, so that way...
I mean, the drop there is cool.
Yeah.
The moment when they go, oh, this has been happening the whole time, I was like, oh, that's nasty.
Yeah.
At that point, he became a villain instead of just like, hey, kid, I'm your father.
I still wonder whether or not Star-Lord standing on Ego, like, with... access to Ego could wield an Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
I think he could.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, because when he was able to channel the power of Ego, he was beyond just an ordinary human.
Yeah.
It's why he was able to hold the Infinity Stone for long enough.
Yeah, for just long enough for someone else to help him.
Yeah, while as only half human without channeling the power of Ego.
Yeah.
And so channeling the power of Ego, I think he could wield one.
Yeah, he's maybe basically not Superman at that point. Maybe like he's jumping around, flying about.
Yeah, maybe not to its full potential, but he could still wield one.
How many Avengers are left do you think
Ronan was able
to
wield one. That's the thing. Like,
yeah, but Ronan's pretty powerful from what we've been led to believe.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. But the whole Infinity Stone thing is a bit...
It's a bit weird where they're like, oh, he could hold an Infinity Stone, but like...
Yeah,
would Doctor Strange die without the orb, without the eye of Agamotto?
Yeah, if he Because, like, yeah, that's right. Doctor Strange is able to wield an Infinity Stone.
Although Doctor Strange is god tier.
Yeah, Doctor Strange is a sorcerer. So. Yeah,
Sorcerer Supreme, baby.
Yeah, Sorcerer Supreme, so.
The Sorcerer.
Yeah, so that's why.
Yeah.
Whereas, like anyone like, touching Loki's staff also technically wields an Infinity Stone.
See, that's the thing that I was calling this out when Avengers Infinity War first came out, but at the start of that movie, Ebony Maw says something to Thanos that's a straight-up lie, where he says, "Congratulations, Lord Thanos, you're now the first creature in existence to wield two Infinity Stones." He's not the first person in that room to hold two Infinity Stones. Loki in Avengers 1 has the Tesseract in one hand and his staff in the other.
Yeah, but he wasn't wielding as... See, like, you could argue that he wasn't wielding them as Infinity Stones.
I get that argument, but still. Yeah. Like, he's got them.
I would argue that the Tesseract and the staff are sort of, like...
containing it. Like, it's not raw. It's not in this raw form, like, Thanos sticks into the gauntlet.
Yeah, not like the raw form that goes into the gauntlet and that way is able to wield them. But, like, as like an Asgardian, I assume that Loki's able to anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's a frost giant, but still.
Pretty much. Still a god, though.
Yeah, still, like, god tier. Like, that's the thing. Like, if Thor picked up, like, the Infinity Gauntlet and just chucked it on, I'd be like, yeah, all right.
I'd want to see that.
Stormbreaker in one hand, Infinity Gauntlet in the other.
Oh, my God.
He's just like, all he does is use it to make beer.
Can you refill this? Thank you.
Yeah, that was my favorite bit in Thor Ragnarok, where he just, like, finishes the beer and Strange just, like, waves his hand and, like, the beer refills. It's like...
All right.
It's like, no, I'm not really into tea. It's like, what do you drink? And you just turn around and it's beer. And he's like, yes.
Well, I do like this.
He's, like, halfway done and it comes back. He's like, man, Loki held out of me. Magic can do this.
You are a truly great sorcerer, wizard.
I also like the... sorry, I just reminded my other favorite bit with, like, the Strange... Thor interaction is it's like, don't forget your umbrella, and Thor just holds his hand out and you just hear all the crashes and he just brushes the umbrella because you just hear everything break
just as it crashes through all the walls and stuff to get there
and Strange is like, what the hell,
dude, do you know how many and
Loki
just spin,
and then Loki rocks up like, I've been falling for half an hour,
falling for 30 minutes.
Oh, man, that film, great.
Great comedy in that.
Marvel sequels generally do work. I think DC misses the mark in sequels.
I mean, DC really hasn't had any sequels to speak of. Although, they just had Batman versus Superman, which, is it really a Man of Steel sequel? I don't know.
Yeah, I
like,
think...
it's a 50-50 although, mix.
I think the first sequel we're really going to see is...
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Although, I've heard that apparently they're moving away from the DCEU, just going to standalone.
Yeah. I mean, Aquaman worked.
Yeah, Aquaman was decent.
It did a good job on it, just being a movie on its own, and I like it.
Yeah, Aquaman was just underwater Black Panther.
I think that's a good time to actually talk about what we're doing next
week.
Yeah,
we're gonna
talk about.
Yeah.
So we've been looking at the Oscar nominations.
Yep.
And we're gonna try and do, before the actual awards show, we're gonna try and get some of those Best Picture nominees done. So next week we're starting with Black Panther.
Yeah, next week we're gonna do Black Panther. We're also gonna do Roma.
Yep, we'll talk about them further on.
Yeah,
we'll,
but like those are the those are two definitely that I want to discuss.
Definitely, I also really want to do Vice if we can get around to it. That's my sort of top pick.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll end up talking about the one that wins.
Yeah.
And if not, then we'll do that after the awards show, I guess.
I mean, Roma is the favorite to win at this point.
Yeah. Which is an Alfonso Cuarón movie, isn't it?
Yeah, I've seen everything of. Like, always major films except Gravity.
Yeah. Really? You haven't seen Gravity?
Nope.
Okay. I mean, at this point, I wouldn't really want to see it. Like, I think the best way to see Gravity would have been to see it in theaters in 3D, like, big screen, proper audio setup, that kind of stuff, because it's very much like an audio-visual experience than a narrative movie to sit down and watch for the story.
I definitely recommend if you... Have you seen Why to Mama Tiembien?
No, I have not.
I butchered that. It's in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
That's a good film, too. It's very, like, Mexico in, like, the 70s or something, and it's well shot.
Similar to Roma, actually, which is...
Yeah, but Roma's, from what I've read, is like a slice of life of a family.
Yep.
Why to Mama Tembien is more, much more, like, it's like a coming-of-age story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll definitely get around to talking about this stuff later on, but for next week, it's Black Panther, so we'll see you all then.